Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
It is what it is. That's our first quote here on the postgame show. Appreciate you guys joining me here on a Sunday afternoon. This is TNL Postgame Live here on YouTube. I'm Hey Dad. We are presented by Paul Davis Restoration. When disaster strikes, you need a name you can trust. Paul Davis Restoration is here to help you recover from water, fire, mold, and storm damage 24/7. Their expert team provides fast, professional service to restore your home or business to its original condition. But we don't just stop at restoration. They offer property improvement services to make your space better than ever. Paul Davis Restoration, because your recovery and property improvement are their priorities. Call them today at 662-769-7285. Let them bring your property back to life in Starkville, in the Golden Triangle, in Tupelo. Paul Davis Restoration. All right. Well, it just kind of is what it is. As Tiger 29532 says, Mississippi State season is over. 11-9 is the final score. I think if you had told me on Thursday or Friday that State was going to score 12 runs and 9 runs, I'd been like, they're coming back and we're headed to Omaha. But instead, that's going to be a theme, right? It is what it is. You know, the kind of the same script as yesterday in that State has a late lead. They're able to pull it off, and they just don't have the guns in the bullpen to get the job done. And that was a fatal flaw for State all season long. And that's that they just weren't good enough on the back end of the bullpen. When McPherson went down, they had some starting pitching issues. I thought Valinkas was really good all season long. I thought that, you know, Duke Stone had his moments, and I give Duke Stone a lot of credit today. He came in a tough situation and was able to at least settle the game down somewhat, keep the Bulldogs in it. Yes, he gave up a couple of runs, but I think in that situation he did about the best that he could. This Georgia lineup is outstanding. I don't know if they'll win the national title or not because of the way the park plays in Omaha. You know, it's not a big home run park, but they're a really, really good baseball team, and there's no question about that. So all in all for Mississippi State, you know, you have to give them some credit because of the way they were able to come back in this game. When it was 7-2, I was like, man, you know, I talked to Brooks Bryan yesterday. We were texting back and forth, and he was like, I think they'll lose Sunday something like 9-3. And for a minute there, I thought, man, he's going to be right on the money. But instead, you know, they were able to come back. The back-to-back-to-back home runs were a cool moment. Jacob Parker's home run in the eighth was a cool moment. But in the end, State's fatal flaw was the bullpen, and it just was that way the rest of, you know, for the whole season, and it reared its ugly head today. When you think about, you know, what we talked about all last week, we said, hey, this team, you know, the way they pitched in the regional, the bullpen was not great. They gave up some late runs. The difference is you had double-digit leads in those games, and it didn't hurt you as much. But in this one, against a great team, you just can't afford to give up runs like that. And, you know, this, you know, 2 days in a row, you give up a home run in the eighth, ninth, 10th inning, whatever you want to call it. And man, a rough one for Mississippi State to go out in this. I do think that State was good enough to get to Omaha, but they're not better than Georgia. And that's just the way the draw went out. You know, I think if State had been playing, maybe not Texas, but just about anybody else, they'd have been in a good spot. But Georgia just has their number. Apparently, it's not as hard to beat somebody six times in a row as you think it is. But, you know, we say that, and look at these games. I mean, Georgia had to do – they had to pull everything out, including the kitchen sink, to win these games. They played incredibly well, and – I thought that, you know, watching Georgia in this game, they were fantastic. People are talking about Jacob Parker, and that's a guy that is going to be a potential number one overall draft pick when the time comes for him in 2028. I mean, the talent is just too obvious for him, and he is going to be the guy that State kind of builds around over the next couple of seasons. But you know, when you look at State, I know they got the kid yesterday from Georgia Southern. I haven't dug too deep into him. He just looks like a good prospect on the surface. But obviously the focus of this transfer portal class is going to have to be into the bullpen and pitching from a pitching perspective. You know, you think about who you bring back. Obviously McPherson, Valinkas, Stone, Bauer, Maddox Miller is a good arm for the future. Beyond that, I don't know if anything's written in, no pun intended, Stone. Who are they going to bring in, 6 or 7? It's 6-7, by the way. It's June 7th. Are they going to bring in 7 or 8 guys to do that? You know, it's going to be tough to do that. It's going to be very difficult to find that number of guys. But that's got to be the king. And I think if you're Parker and O'Connor, you got to look less at maybe like the measurable side of things. Yeah, you're looking at guys who they throw 75, they throw 80, or I'm sorry, 75 or 80, they throw 95 or something like that. You got to find guys that can just get people out, veteran guys who know how to get hitters out and do a little bit less than you know, you can't worry as much about, you know, the spin rate and the velocity as just their ability to do things to get guys out. And that needs to be the focus, you know. And then, of course, in the lineup, you got to replace a huge bat in Ace Reese. You got to replace Bryce Chance and, you know, everything that he brought to the table this year. Garrick Fry, yes, he had a really tough day today, but that's a guy who hit .330 with double-digit home runs and played a really solid second base for Mississippi State this year. You got to replace him. You know, I think Maluski has certainly made his point that he should be back next season. I can't imagine he would be drafted high enough to go. So you put together a nice NIL deal. If the middle of your lineup is Maluski with Parker and the transfer kid, I haven't done the depth of knowledge on him. What's his name? I'm gonna look it up real quick, see if I can find it on the message board. Where's that kid's name? Of course, I can't find it. Well, regardless, he's a big-time hitter and a guy that you feel could easily do that. Someone, Jacob Gilmore, call me crazy. I think Teal can fill that leadoff spot next season. It's an interesting point because, you know, Teal and Nunnally both were both guys that, we, you know, coming into the season, everybody thought they were going to be huge contributors, and it just ended up not being that way. But I do think Brady Christman, thank you, Peyton. I do think that they, you know, another year they could take a step forward. It's very possible next year your starting outfield is Nunnally in left, Teal in center, and Parker in right. But of course, it's going to be a situation where those guys have got to improve. And I'm certainly not handing anything to them. I'm going into the portal and I'm going to try to figure out some potential replacements for those guys as well. But pitching will be the focus. Pitching will be the focus for this portal class coming up. I tell you what though, if you're an unbiased observer, and I know that hardly any of us here in this chat right now or watching this are, but this is one of the best two super regional games you'll ever see. Back and forth, a lot of drama, big hits, big pitching moments. I know you're going to say, what? Big pitching moments? They were certainly there here and there throughout the game. And it's just, you know, I really do think between Mississippi State and Georgia, and then I think Texas, that's those three teams, I think from this super regional and then from the Texas-Oregon super regional, I think that's where the national champion is, if you ask me. I could be wrong, but I think, you know, that Georgia-Texas first game of the College World Series, if that's the way it goes, is going to be an unbelievable series. But yeah, this Georgia team is really, really good. And, you know, Daniel Jackson, what a player he is. I mean, you know, a catcher with that kind of pop and to be able to steal the bases the way he does, and then to show up the way he did in the big moments, just really something. I mean, that's the thing with Georgia. I mean, down in the late innings, both times, didn't flinch, didn't have a problem with it, just moved forward. And man, what a game for them. So, did Mississippi State have a meltdown today? No, Georgia almost did, though. Georgia almost did. In fact, you could say Georgia did, but they came back and got hold of it. So, simple as that. And so the season comes to an end. And so my first thought is, you know, how do I grade this season? How do I think that it went? You know, you're looking at a guy that made the prediction back in February that I thought that this could be a team that won the national title. And, you know, obviously not going to get to that point. So how would I grade this season? I thought that I would say it's in the B range. You know, so I see people saying an A season with this team and the talent they had needed to end in Omaha. I would just say a B. You know, they lost their last game of the season on the road. That to me, a B is probably the best that I can do. Jacob Gilmore, I like the future of this program. They're heading in the right direction. No doubt. No question about that. Some of y'all got nothing better to do on a Sunday afternoon than just come in here and troll. We will be moving on from those people, though. B-plus from Rob Chittum. Too many losses in SEC play. Great fight and team. I will say this, though. How different is this season if McPherson doesn't get hurt? He plays the whole season long. Do you have a couple of more SEC wins? And if you have a couple more SEC wins, instead of being the 14th seed, are you the 10th seed? Are you the 8th seed and you're playing this weekend at home? I don't know the answer to that question, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on. Do you honestly believe this coaching staff can keep State moving in the right direction? Well, yeah. Why wouldn't I believe that? They came in year one. They won 43 games. They hosted a regional. They put together a top-rated transfer portal class. The first transfer they've got in right now is a good one. They've got a great high school recruiting class coming in. Why would I not be positive for the future with this group? Braden Parker, disappointing for the money put into players and coaches. I mean, I agree, but they ran into a team that also put in a lot of money into players and coaches. You know, it's not like Georgia is just a bunch of scrappy kids who all playing for the love of the G. They put a lot of money into that baseball program. Wilt West Johnson was on Mississippi State's hot list. He got a big raise to keep him at Georgia, and they put a lot of money into the transfer portal. So they, you know, it's not like they just went out and lost to a. If they had lost it to somebody like Arkansas, Little Rock, or Troy, I would be agreeing with you. Here we go. And Channing Hodges. I hate to ask this, but we'll be able to keep Jacob Parker for next year? Is every team going to throw the bank at him in the portal? I mean, I guess the anything is possible, but what team do you see doing that? What team do you see offering more money than Mississippi State's going to offer? I think at this point we've proven Mississippi State's willing to make huge commitments to baseball NIL. They kept Ace Reese a year ago. Somebody says LSU. LSU wanted Ace Reese last year. Where did he play baseball this season? I mean, yeah, I'm not too terribly worried about that. So I'm excited to see how Valinkas looks next year without the pressure of being the sole ace. Well, and you know, that's an interesting way to look at it because, you know, he wasn't going to be the I don't know if ace is the right word, but he was never the Friday starter until what week, the week of the South Carolina series? No, LSU. LSU was the first series where he was the Friday night starter. So, yeah, people are saying, just give Parker all of Ace's money. It may literally just be that simple. So, you know, they never really put him in that ace role until late in the season. I am interested to see how he reacts, though. I think McPherson will be back. I think it's pretty clear watching him today and really watching him over the past few weeks. I don't know necessarily that they rushed him back, but he just wasn't himself. And so it was it, he was not the same guy we saw those first few weeks of the season when he was really, really good. He still had some good stuff, but today he just wasn't himself. And there you go. We're just getting started with this coaching staff, says Peyton Rawls. Need to find some bullpen arms and a bona fide closer. Yeah, that's exactly what this team with a couple of more arms in the bullpen would still be playing baseball. There's no question about that. Channing Hodges, curious your thoughts on Jack Bauer after 1 year and his outlook for next year. I mean, you can't help but be excited. You got to think with another year of development, another year of coaching, that he will challenge for one of the weekend spots next year. You know, he could very easily end up being the Sunday guy. And if you do get that and Duke Stone is willing to come in and be your midweek guy, State's going to be really, really tough to beat. Landon Sims would have completely changed his team. Not even Landon Sims. You don't have to have the best guy ever. You could have somebody just in the neighborhood of him. Can I get Aaron Weatherford? Can I get Jonathan Holder? Can I get, trying to think my way, you know, Van Johnson back through the day. So anybody like that. Is Pitzer coming back next season? I don't know. I think I know he's draft eligible. I don't think he's out of eligibility. I could be wrong on that, but I don't know. I thought that's a guy, you know, he gave up the game-winning home run, obviously, but pitched a solid two innings before that. I would like to have seen him more this year. I thought, you know, I would go back to the Ole Miss series. He pitched really well on Friday night. I thought that Papelbon got any eligibility left. Exactly. You know, this day and age, Channing, who knows? Who knows who has eligibility left? Literally anybody could have one. So do we have our leadoff guy on the team now, or do we need to get one in the portal? That's a good question. I mean, if Nunnally or Teal can get back to where they were at Virginia, you might already have him. But again, I would not. The only name that's like written into the lineup right now is going to be Parker. That's it. You can put his name in Sharpie. But other than that, you know, nobody is safe. So you got to go out and if you can find somebody you think is better, can be better than Teal and Nunnally, or, you know, can just be good, period, sign them. Sign them and figure it all out later on. So didn't hear from Teal at all this super. What's interesting about that, Ryan Pace said that, if Parker had gotten on, Teal was on deck. And I had a thought in my head. I was like, it would be pretty darn ironic if after all of this, that kid came up and did something. But unfortunately, it's just not the case. I think a huge benefit is that no starting role is guaranteed with O'Connor. He will go get people to compete for starting roles. Yes, that is correct. Like I said, Parker will start next year. That's the only thing I can tell you for sure. Valinkis will be the start, your day one starter probably. He'll probably get opening day. McPherson will be right there with him. Duke Stone, you know, all these guys are back. Yeah. But the other eight positions on the field, or I should say seven, I guess, because you're not counting the pitcher, and the DH, they're wide open, guys, and it's going to be a another troll in here. We're going to move on from that. It's going to be wide open. So this transfer portal season will be, you know, as exciting as the off season can be, I guess, for Mississippi State. But all in all, you know, year one of what's the word I'm looking for? Year one of Brian O'Connor was. With William Kirk is supposed to will come back. Yes, he will. I think he will be back. You know, that's a guy who's had some terrible injury luck at Mississippi State. We'll see if he can, you know, at least we get forward to football season. Let's hope. Let's see what happens. So, all right. So year one of Brian O'Connor has come to an end. We will have a full recap on Thunder and Lightning a little later, waiting on Carlo to get wrapped up and all that good stuff over there in Athens. But we will be back a little later this evening for another round of Thunder and Lightning. And then we're into the offseason. I believe we're 1 week away. We'll start some opponent previews up. And also, I think I mentioned this, going to try to teach Carlo a little Mississippi State history. We're going to do an all-time Mississippi State football team this offseason. So if you can guess who the quarterback's going to be, let me know if you think you know who it might be. But the other positions, I feel like the quarterback position is kind of like Jacob Parker. You can go ahead and pencil one guy in. It's a done deal. Rob Chittum, a long time from now to September. It is. It is, but we will get through it together the way we always have. So, as always, guys, as you know, when are media days? Media days are, let me double check that. It's later than it usually is. Starts July 20th. July 20th through 23rd down in Tampa, and State's on the last day. So we will be there along with LSU. So Kiffin and Lebby, that'll be a great time. Some interesting guesses for that top quarterback. I don't know. I don't know if that's what it's going to be. So we'll see what happens. All right, guys. Like I said, Thunder and Lightning a little later this evening. Appreciate you guys for chiming in, for coming in with me. I've enjoyed doing these post-game shows. Was hoping to do a few more, but it is what it is. That's our final thought for us. All right. Appreciate you guys as always. Talk to you later. Enjoy your Sunday. This has been Thunder and Live Postgame, Thunder and Lightning Postgame Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.